This is the Wall Street Business Network.
South Florida's only business radio station, 880 AM, The Biz. You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we are back, and we are talking hot real estate sector with Andy Hogshead. What's that hot sector? It's student housing. That sector's on fire with capital and developers chomping at the bit, but Andy's got an edge. Andy is with the Collier Companies. They're the largest privately held owner of student housing in the U.S. Welcome back, Andy.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Now, Andy, I've been reading here in, like, let's say, some of the press that the University of Florida plans to build a $25 million dormitory to accommodate handicapped students, and it's part of a goal to have 24% of the students living in the university housing by 2015. Is that going to impact the business of student housing up in Gainesville?
It may have some impact. However, a lot of the interesting things going on here are Innovation Square, which is a public-private partnership to develop new technology and license it, and for the university and the academic faculty here to profit from their inventions. And that will drive a lot of new housing options. You know, a lot of those people will be grad students and research fellows that stay. It's not necessarily what people think of when they think of student housing. But, you know, as I said before, university housing actually has a very wide spectrum of applications.
Now, so is student housing a profit center for these universities?
I don't think dorms are a profit center for the universities. I think they have different goals, which sometimes makes public-private partnerships with them a challenge.
So that was my next question. Are some of these on-campus dorms privately developed, and are some private facilities adjacent to campus perhaps have a relationship with the university directly?
Yes, definitely. That is a very hot development in the sector. State universities especially are challenged for funds. Any dollars they receive in their building fund would probably be better served by building new science classes or computer labs than they would building dorms. There is an abundance of capital right now to partner with private companies such as ours and to develop dorm space either on campus, as you suggested, or immediately off campus, well located, in such a way to offer the students essentially dorm space with a university wrapper, but not use university funds.
Now, you mentioned something quite interesting, which is, during our discussion, we've talked about proximity to the campus, and I talked about some stuff that's out, miles out in the middle of nowhere. And one of the things that I've noticed in these large college towns is that the traffic is getting really, really bad. It's almost like, I don't want to say Miami, but it's certainly much worse than the people living in a small college town would come to expect. So I got to believe that these in-town locations are rather desirable.
Absolutely. Proximity to campus. It's a phenomenon that is true of young adults, millennials in general. They value that live-work-play mentality more than previous groups, and they do like to be able to congregate, and that generally means that they like sort of a denser living experience, which places a premium on student housing that's close to campus. Kids want to hang out with their friends, and they want to be able to find them easily.
Well, let's talk about that a little more in detail. So it sounds to me like the best locations or some of the best locations for student housing are close into the university. That would be the higher density and the more relatively expensive locations. What I've seen around the rest of the state is that there's starting to become a trend of cost sharing, where you have a mixed-use project, maybe you have some residential, you have some retail, you have some office, some hotel. Are you starting to see a trend like that of student housing be a component of mixed-use projects?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One, it's natural for, let's say, a retail development to try to take advantage of a very affluent niche, which has an awful lot disposable cash. Two, a lot of the redevelopment codes are seeking mixed-use projects because they feel that it makes better use of their land. And three, I think it's just the right way to maximize the quality of a development from a cost and income perspective.
Now, here's an idea. You've got this university town, you've got the big university, you've got the housing all around it, and then you got the rest of the folks that live in the town. You know, they do business with the university, et cetera. Is there sort of a desire to bring the student housing, the university, and everything together to kind of create a momentum in certain areas, perhaps in downtowns, or help the city kind of interact with the university? Maybe the student housing is a great focal point for that.
There should be. There's a lot of concern in some communities about student housing. It still has, oftentimes, as I said before, an image of sort of an animal house kind of living environment, and people are afraid of noise, they're afraid of crime, they're afraid of, you know, debauchery and wantonness.
That doesn't happen in college towns. Come on, Andy.
No. Only when we were there.
Shame on you, Andy.
But
you Harvard boy, tell me more.
Once people get over that, I think that they see the benefits.
You know, I forgot to mention that Andy sits on the executive committee of the National Multi-Housing Council and the advisory boards for the University of Florida Center for Real Estate Studies. So he does have a great perch to kind of see what's happening in all the other sectors. Now, Andy, what do you see coming up in the future of student housing? We've seen a heck of an evolution from the animal house to the basically military style housing that I lived in, to palatial lake filled stuff out on the highway with, you know, volleyball courts and movie theaters and all kinds of stuff. What the heck is next?
I do think there is a trend towards higher density, closer in living. I think that there will be a trend towards using the internet more. I mean, we are locked in an arms race for providing the fastest internet speeds with the highest bandwidth. And you know, just when you think you're done, you're turning around and reinvesting some more. I think that there will be probably more public-private partnerships. I think that you will have opportunities for doing other types of student housing, just as students today are not as uniform as they were 30, 40 years ago. They are going to be even more diverse in the future. People need to come up with ways to house graduate students, ways to house people who are doing distance learning programs and coming in and maybe, you know, they're at a campus for a month. You know, so that would look almost more like an extended stay hotel.
Oh, wow, Andy, you're seeing the future there, man. Now, let's talk a little bit about the capital markets. We've only got a couple of minutes left, and I want to get mm-hmm. to one of your real historic specialties, the capital markets. How's institutional debt and equity treating this sector?
Institutional debt is very available. Freddie and Fannie have been great friends to the multifamily industry over the last 3 or 4 years. I think that it's one of the big reasons that apartments have held up so well in asset values when other deserving asset types have suffered. You know, office and retail have suffered as much from a lack of institutionally available capital as, you know, lack of customer demand. So that has been easy. There has been an awful lot of equity capital coming in on the institutional side. We have three REITs in the space. They are, like all REITs right now, suffering a little bit from taper shock, as a friend of mine called it. but there is plenty of institutional capital available. You might almost worry that there's too much.
Well, I can only say that if there's a lot of capital heading into the sector, I want to build into it and sell. That's what I want to do. Andy,
yep.
I really want to I want to tell you I appreciate you taking out the time. If people have kids that are going up to Gainesville and they want to find the premier housing provider up there, how would they find you guys?
Collyercompanies.com.
No, I think that says it all because we're talking about being internet connected. Andy Hogshead, executive of the Collier Companies, the largest privately held owner of student housing, member of the University of Florida Center for Real Estate Studies, and an executive committee member of the National Multi-Housing Council. I want to thank you for giving your insider's look to student housing to our listeners today.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's my pleasure, Andy. Go Gators and go Collier Companies. We'll be back after this short break. We're going to talk about how to make your bottom line better in your commercial real estate project with good, solid energy management. Back after this.